From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this show on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Donald Trump early on Thursday morning tweeted ahead of a House vote on extending surveillance provisions in the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, or FISA. He wrote, quote, "This is the act that may have been used with the help of the discredited and phony dossier to so badly surveil and abuse the Trump campaign by the previous administration and others, question mark." But less than 2 hours later, the president contradicted himself, tweeting, "With that being said, I have personally directed the fix to the unmasking process since taking office, and today's vote is about foreign surveillance of foreign bad guys on foreign land. We need it. Get smart." The House went on to pass the bill in question, with many Democrats joining Republicans in extending Section 702 of FISA. That section allows the collection of information on non-Americans, but also on the Americans who communicate with them without the requirement of a warrant. Joining me to help understand all of that is Shahid Buttar, Director of Grassroots Advocacy at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Welcome to the program, Shahid.
Thanks for having me, Sonali. It's always great to be back.
Thank you. How do you explain Trump's tweets? Let's start with the first one. He threw out some words, dossier, badly surveilling the Trump campaign. I'm assuming he's talking about the Steele dossier that he basically thinks was used to discredit his campaign, and he's linking that to Section 702?
It might be the case. I mean, in my mind, the president's tweets just revealed the confused ravings of a maniac. But I do think the important question here is why establishment Democrats handed him the power to spy on Americans and their families without any judicial review to constrain the documented recurring abuses that we've seen of these powers in the past.
So which of the Democrats voted for this? You know, Trump turned around and sort of got in line with the sort of establishment Republican Party's position, and the vote then went on to pass. But in that interim period, when there was all this confusion sowed by his contradicting tweets, apparently Nancy Pelosi, House Minority Leader, asked Paul Ryan, the House Speaker, to shelve the bill because of that contradiction. So she indicated she was against it.
Yeah, Pelosi basically went along with the national security state here and essentially shored up a Bush-era secret unconstitutional program with its roots in flatly illegal activity before Congress attempted to legalize it while it still remains unconstitutional back in 2009 under Obama. This reflects the triumph of Washington over the rest of us, and particularly the collusion across the establishments of each of the major parties to undermine the constitutional rights of their constituents. And in addition to the House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Representative Adam Schiff, who represents part of Pasadena, was also very actively problematic here, interfering with reform efforts to create a warrant requirement. And it's very disappointing to see Democrats become actively complicit in extending the Bush legacy and the era of mass surveillance in violation of the First and Fourth Amendments of the U.S. Constitution.
So I'm confused, though, about Pelosi's position and Schiff's position. Weren't both of these Democratic leaders in opposition to this extension?
They've talked a big game about it. While on the House floor, unfortunately giving a great deal of comfort. And ultimately, they were, I don't want to say they were the deciding votes because that would be unfair, but they certainly have leadership positions within the Democratic Party, and they did not use their leadership positions to actively encourage opposition to this extension. And if anything, they were complicit in supporting an extension of these powers without the creation without the acknowledgement of a requirement that the agency seek judicial permission before monitoring Americans, as has been the law since the 1970s and even before that in the founding documents of our country, is a commitment to people not being searched unreasonably. That has always required some basis for suspicion. And that's exactly what the NSA or the FBI or other agencies with access to NSA evidence, it's exactly what they no longer need to show. And it is unfortunately appropriate to lay it at the feet of Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, because there was an uprising within the GOP and Tea Party influenced Republicans in the Freedom Caucus had basically challenged the otherwise longstanding consensus in the Republican Party. They had successfully secured an amendment which establishment Democrats helped reject, and that's what cleared the road for the passage of this extension.
I see. So the Freedom Caucus, the libertarian wing of the Republican Party, was on the right side of this issue.
Absolutely, and they have been for some time. Unfortunately, in this case, the Freedom Caucus was on the right side of the issue, and again, establishment Democrats lined up behind essentially the Bush administration. And I want to make clear here, what Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff voted to do was hand to President Trump the power to spy on Americans without judges to ensure that those investigations are legitimate. We've already seen the NSA's tools being used by agents and contractors to spy on their former lovers and ex-wives. There's absolutely no reason not to expect abuses of this program, particularly given who stands at the top of the administration. And to see Democrats talk in the media about their concerns about, for instance, the president politicizing the Justice Department, while on the other hand, voting to extend mass surveillance powers available to his administration, potentially to use against his political opponents, is not only self-defeating and somewhat insane, it also, I dare say, it's duplicitous.
Let's talk about what Trump thinks this law is all about, because, of course, it's his administration that would have these powers with the sort of amendment to his views on the vote. He said today's vote is about foreign surveillance of foreign bad guys on foreign land. We need it. Get smart. He managed to use the word foreign three times in one sentence. So he wants Americans to think that this is all about those foreigners over there.
And not just President Trump. I mean, this is what all of Washington wants us to think. In fact, FISA stands for the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. It was written in the 1970s to protect Americans from what then was a documented, recurring, longstanding 50-year history of our national security agencies abusing the rights of Americans. In the years since that statute was passed, it was not only watered down, but particularly in 2009, it was amended to legalize much of what it was originally passed to prohibit. And what happened today was, again, the extension for what happened Thursday of this week was an extension for 6 years of a power that has no legal basis under our Constitution. And we at EFF will continue to challenge this program in the courts, and we hope very much that Congress revisits this issue to acknowledge the warrant requirement that the Constitution has never suspended. I mean, it's alarming to see Congress across both of the major parties legislating to approve unconstitutional powers. This should disturb anyone, regardless of who is in the White House. Given the composition of the administration, it should be a particular concern to anyone concerned about the future of democracy in America.
So basically, this extension for 6 years allows for the government, without a warrant, to not just spy on the communications of non-Americans, but that between Americans and non-Americans. So, for example, I have family that live outside the country with whom I am constantly communicating electronically. Does this law apply to somebody like me and my family members?
Not only you and your family members, but potentially anyone who communicates with you. And the backdoor.
Or anyone who communicates with me. Because yeah. I have communications with non-Americans.
That's what makes this so dangerous. The backdoor search loophole effectively covers America precisely through that process of chaining.
So anybody who knows anybody else who lives outside the country and communicates with them.
You need not live outside the country. You need merely travel abroad, right? Let's say you travel abroad and you're communicating with other people while you're there. The fact that it just takes the way that agencies actually parse this is they have to affirmatively know that you're in the United States. And and there's a whole game and dance here about being able to prove where communications are coming from. But at the end of the day, yes, the backdoor search loophole enables the agencies to monitor, again, without a judicial warrant of the sort required under the Constitution, millions of Americans and their families. And particularly, this is the point where I want to make really sharply for your listeners, Americans who are engaged in social change movements. In our country, we haven't done a very good job of protecting dissent historically. There is an unfortunate recurring history of national intelligence security agencies and intelligence agencies in the United States suppressing dissent. That is precisely the reason why the vote this Thursday in the House threatens not only the Fourth Amendment's protections against unreasonable searches and seizures, but also the First Amendment's protections for speech and access to the political process. I don't think it's any secret that the rule of law in the United States is very much in crisis. And the extension of these surveillance powers under an administration run by someone who doesn't seem to have as much respect for checks and balances, transparency. You know, you opened the segment talking about how the president contradicted himself within 2 hours over his support or opposition for this bill. And at the end of the day, who I think your listener should be very concerned about is the utter failure of establishment Democrats to exercise effective opposition in the independent branch of government that they had an opportunity to vote in. They had allies from the GOP that would have ended these powers if Right. Democrats merely Mm-hmm. defended their own values. But what's really striking to me here is the notion that Democrats are somehow liberal. You know, liberal, it gets thrown around as a word, but liberal means a commitment to liberty. That's where it sprang from. And people are described as liberals because we favor freedoms. Institutional Democrats absolutely did not. They would be more fairly described as authoritarian in the context of this Thursday's vote.
So essentially, if all Democrats had united in voting against it, together with the votes of the Freedom Caucus, they could have beat this back out of the House, but they didn't do that. Donald Trump wants all of us to think that it's about foreign surveillance of foreign bad guys on foreign land, when it isn't. So this is what the House did. By the time this program is heard or viewed, it's possible there might be a Senate vote on the same issue. How fast do you think the Senate could vote on this? What do you expect coming? You know, are there people in the Senate that could actually throw a wrench into this?
Absolutely. There are many senators who have been very concerned about this, some of them for years. Senator Ron Wyden from Oregon and Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky come to mind. Senator Wyden is a Democrat. Senator Paul is a Republican. They, in addition to dozens of their colleagues, are on the record opposing this extension. Senators Wyden and Paul actually introduced a measure in the Senate called the USA Rights Act, which would have imposed very significant reforms here to defend and acknowledge the rights of Americans. It was the amendment offered by the Freedom Caucus in the House that the leadership of the Democratic Party rejected. And in the Senate, should Senators Wyden and Paul, for instance, mount a bipartisan filibuster, I think the dynamics could conceivably get very interesting. How many, you know, does the national security establishment have the votes to close a filibuster? It very well might. I think it will be very we're eager to see what happens in the Senate, and we hope very much that senators, if not members of the House, remember their oaths of office and do their jobs and serve their constituents rather than the needs of the security agencies, which continue and keep abusing our rights.
Now, we have seen some friction, to say the least, between the intelligence community and the Trump administration on this issue. Are they united?
They haven't been to this point, but that presumes that the administration won't gain control of the agencies. You might describe the agencies as having had a longstanding role in preserving stasis in prior years. That meant, you know, trying to drive Dr. King, whose, you know, anniversary we're about to celebrate in the United States, to an early suicide, right? That was what the FBI's business was in for 40 years, was neutralizing domestic social movements. I think the same agencies at the moment confronted with a different sort of head of state may be still trying to enforce the same stasis. How long they're able to do that and at what point the president has the opportunity to replace them and appoint his own people to run those agencies, that's the question. If Pelosi and Schiff voted to give the intelligence agencies these powers because they imagined that somehow they would remain in opposition to the administration, it was a flight of naive fancy, because the agencies ultimately will come in under the control of the administration. It's just a matter of when the president has the opportunity to appoint people to the right positions. And that is quite likely an inevitability. And to the extent the agencies and the administration have had tension in the past, it's not at all clear that that will continue. And in fact, I think there's a great deal of danger, not only that the president will gain effective operational control over the national security agencies, but particularly then that he will politicize them. in the way that they have been politicized in America's past repeatedly. And if they get politicized again with these kinds of tools, which in those prior eras never existed, there was no internet that could be co-opted as a tool of global surveillance when the FBI was trying to destroy the civil rights movement and the movement for Puerto Rican independence and the environmental movement and the movement for peace in Vietnam. How President Trump might abuse these powers is anyone's guess and, I dare say, nightmare. And I think that members of the House and certainly the Democratic leadership, and I dare say and I hope not, the American people will all come very deeply to regret Thursday's events.
Finally, Shahid, your organization, Electronic Frontier Foundation, has been one of the groups at the forefront of addressing these issues. After this House vote, what are your organization's plans on this issue? I mean, do we just sit around for another 6 years and hope that the next opportunity that comes around, if the Senate were to also pass this and Trump were to sign it into law, that we just, you know, have lost this war for 6 years?
Absolutely not. We at EFF, and we hope very much the American people, will remain committed to the constitutional rights that have long made this country great, and will continue to fight in the courts, in Congress, and also in state legislatures and municipal city councils and in the grassroots until our rights are once again respected. This is a battle for democracy in America, and we absolutely will not rest.
Give out a website for EFF and where people can find out more information.
Folks can learn more at www.eff.org.
That's EFF.org. Shahid, I want to thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Sonali.
My guest has been Shahid Buttar. He's the Director of Grassroots Advocacy at the Electronic Frontier Foundation. We've been discussing the House passage of a bill extending surveillance provisions. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.